T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
You know what make this different? They ain't never seen this Cam. You want to know how I know? They ain't never seen him. The forgotten Cam. Felt like I was just left to die.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. It is Dukes and Bell on a Tuesday. We do have some news to report before we get to some college football.
Big story.
Yeah, man. This is coming down literally as we speak. And here's the interesting thing. Double A, that's Alex Anthopoulos, our general manager for the Braves. We were wondering if they would try to replace Nick Markakis, who opted out for the season. And guys had that opportunity and every right to do that. But this, Mike, is interesting. As Mark Feinsand is reporting, Yasiel Puig is signing with the Braves per sources. Puig to Atlanta, it sounds like, makes perfect sense, as Mark talks about on his Twitter feed. He is, by the way, a former executive in Major League Baseball, now a Major League Baseball insider. He was the executive reporter, should I say, for MLB.com. This is interesting, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, Puig's a guy. You know, again, I know how the Braves, I know exactly how Braves Nation will go with this. I don't want him.
Why not?
I don't care for the cut of his jib. No, man, I didn't really fit the style of the Braves, does he, though? Like, oh, maybe that's changing. Maybe I'm locked in the 1990s perceptions with Schuerholz. But, yeah, I love it, man. Whatever this guy can give you. And, again, even last year, it was 24 home runs, splitting time between, let's see here. He had the Cincinnati and Cleveland. It was with the Reds after the Dodgers and then wrapped it up with the Indians. So the guy still has pop. See what he does at Truist Park. The guy can get on base. I mean, this is an upgrade. This is a younger, I mean, whatever you thought of Markakis, and I think some people thought that, maybe, Markakis was getting long in the tooth, not to, throw him out with the bathwater, but I got to be honest with you. I dig it. I'm just curious to see how Braves fans are going to respond to this.
Yeah, here's the thing. There were various teams, allegedly, that were interested in Yasiel Puig. And
the Orioles were one. The Phillies apparently were kicking the tires. He's only 29 years of age, by the way, guys.
So the decision obviously is his decision, and he felt like this might be the best place for him. Either way, I dig it. It's another stick. If again we're talking about the Puig that we saw come in and kind of shocked the league, but from a production standpoint at age 29, man, I like this move. And by the way, in a shortened season. Who cares? Honestly. People act like, what are they doing? It's 60 games. We're going to blink and the season's going to be over. Who cares? Let's see what we can do and bring some guys in. And if it works, great. Maybe we get a World Series out of it, Mike.
Again, and look, we got Acuna. We got guys. We got a young, nice, young Latin core. This guy will fit right in. It's fine, man. I'm excited. Like I said, technically, if this guy's head's on straight, it's an upgrade over Mark. Again, I'm not trying to be, just like throwing Markakis out like he's an afterthought. But this technically would be an upgrade.
Yeah. All right, so that news coming down, and again, nothing from the Braves as of yet, but we hope to hear something from them. But I like the fact that they're rolling the dice and saying, all right, we'll replace that bat with Nick Markakis with a guy like this, and hopefully we'll continue to roll. And you can never, in a universal DH world, by the way, you can never have enough sticks. It's just like pitching. Right.
And this guy can steal a base for you, too. 84 RBIs, as we said last year, between the Reds and the Indians with 24 home runs.
His wins above replacement.
What is that?
Well, how do you compute wins above replacement? You take the number of hits of the batter, by the number of at-bats, and then you divide it by the amount of times the guy who's writing the stats got laid in high school, and that's how you come up with your wins above replacement. In this case, a 1.3.
Did you just say laid? Did you just say that?
Well, you know what I mean, baseball nerds. You know, let me phrase it. How many times did the nerd kissed a girl? How's that sound? Is that clean? Was that more family friendly?
I don't know. We just both used that word, and now it's out there. I had to repeat it because I was so shocked that you even said it. Man.
No, you know, I hate statistics unless they prove your argument. But I mean, you know, I always say, who's the replacement? Now, the replacement obviously is the average of guys in that position. But I mean, again, to me, it's just so. I hate baseball nerds. I hate the way it's crept into football. But let's get back on point. Yasiel Puig is a younger guy who can hit for contact, hit for power. You know, I mean, you think the average will be okay? I mean, that's, I guess, if there's a knock on him, it's sometimes he swings and strikes out a little too much.
Yeah, my guess, and I say this, how many at-bats are we talking about? I mean, now we're going to get into the minutia of things that people probably don't care about, but here's the thing. If you are going to look at how the Braves are going to use him, then you have to look at what his at-bats are going to be expected to be. And usually, guys, in a regular season, okay, 162 games, you could be talking about an everyday player with 500 at-bats, right? That's not going to happen.
And by the way, he actually last year, because of, if you combine and add it up, it was 555 plate appearances between the Reds and the Indians. Struck out 100, if I'm reading this right, struck out 133 times.
So there you go. So my question is, how many plate appearances, at-bats, is he going to get with the Braves if he's splitting time? Right. Here's the thing we need. We just need him in that shortened period of at-bats to be productive. You know, that's my thing. I don't expect him to come in here and kill it. If he does, great. But I don't expect him also, Mike, to come in here and take time away necessarily from guys that you're grooming. And this is, I don't know if Yasiel Puig is a part of the future when you've got Pache, and he looked good in this inter squad game yesterday. You've got some young outfielders that you want to give a chance to, but in a 60 game season, to bring in an experienced bat and a guy who knows the league and who can still hit, do it.
By the way, pretty funny. You see the story of a guy named Brian Chandler? Did you see this one?
No, what did he say?
On Twitter, he goes, not to alarm anyone, but I'm 99% positive Yasiel Puig walked out of the Omni Hotel in the Battery, walked past me and got in the back of an Uber. Big muscular man, same hair, same face. Don't want to be that guy that breaks something wrong, but Puig to the Braves, this was about an hour ago, so we'll give him some love.
There you go.
So nice job, Brian. We'll give you the official credit, just like we had the girl at the package store who noticed that Patrick Mahomes was buying a case of champagne to celebrate the largest contract in sports history. No, like, I like Puig, and again, I think also the thing is, remember some guys, and again, not everybody, but there were some fans who didn't like Ozuna saying, well, shoot, I would have rather just stayed with the Cardinals for another year, the way he didn't get the deal he wanted. But he's a Brave now. This is Puig wanting specifically to be a Brave. He was a free agent. He had offers, as we said, from other teams. The Orioles obviously aren't going anywhere, but he wanted to be a Brave, and now he is, according to reports. How cool is that?
All right, man. Well, listen, and by the way, those things that happen like that, most people don't pay attention to things that play out like that, but if you are, you never know who you're going to see or where you might be where something might go down like that. All right, more on this as we find out more, but that is the report that's out there, so it looks like the Braves are adding on here before we start the season. And Puig, as we said, was a guy that was a hot commodity for a lot of teams who were interested in adding a stick. So hopefully the Braves, and this is a done deal, and we think
nice
it
job.
Is.
Nice job, Alex Anthopoulos, man. Right on.
All right, let's talk some dogs. Dogs.
On the sidelines with the dogs.
It is always brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
BrightboxElectrical.com for guys who want the ultimate man cave. These are the dudes to call. They hung the TVs in my living room and bedroom nice because I couldn't do that. Maybe you can. Let the pros do it, man. Plus generators to keep the juice on. Go to BrightboxElectrical.com.
All right. Listen, there's nothing new really to report with the dogs, but we know there's a lot going on in and around college football. And Mike had been talking about this. Mike and I have been talking about this for the last few days, and it even dating back to the last few weeks for that matter, because we've been waiting on these decisions. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 have already announced they are going to conference-only schedule football. The ACC is in line with the SEC in making a determination at the end of July. So are we talking about July 31st or are we talking about July 27th, which is 2 weeks from yesterday? Either way, we're going to know here soon enough. The Big 12 is expecting to announce its move around the same time. So three of the Power Fives, okay, and I said this yesterday, this is all correlating together. These conferences don't work alone and independently of each other. They all work with each other simply right. because you don't have the Power Five without the Power Five. This is not the Power Two, or this is not the Power One. So I think, Mike, when this is all said and done, that the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC will all do exactly what the Big Ten and Pac-12 did if these trends continue at the end of the month. And that's, say, we're playing a conference-only schedule. Even if they don't, I still think that's where we're going, Mike. It's the only way I think people will feel comfortable about this upcoming college right. season is cutting the games down.
And the only way some people are ever going to really feel good about it, I think, is when somebody goes, we have the vaccine, and we're still waiting on that. And we know that's not going to happen anytime soon from what we've read. Seth Emerson, by the way, from The Athletic reporting, Carl, speaking of the SEC, they postponed volleyball, soccer, cross-country games, and competitions, quote, not practices, through at least the end of August, August 31st. He writes, it doesn't affect football, yet no games scheduled, of course, till the first week of September. So any rescheduling of non-conference contest from the postponed start of fall will be determined by each school. So that's not counting football, but that's a direction they're going in there. Also, we learned today that Scott Strickland tested positive for COVID. He had mild symptoms, and we're talking about, a guy that, when you go around the landscape of sports, we're talking about people that make decisions and look at guys and know people that say, hey, what's this up with, how about this and that? Well, Scott Strickland, for those who don't know, he's the athletic director for the University of Florida. He's the guy who famously said back in March when Carl and I first went to ground to do the show that said, look, if we've got to stay inside and do things right to keep college, to have a college football season, he goes, Southeastern people will do that. And we did for a while, but just not long enough for the rest of the country.
No, we did.
Apparently he's okay, he says that he tested positive for COVID, like a lot of people, apparently asymptomatic.
By the way, real quick, Ken Rosenthal saying the Puig deal will not be completed or finalized until physical's completed. We know how this works. So even though it's being reported and it's probably done financially and what they're going to pay him, but it won't be completed until physical's complete. So like we said, that information just now coming down. Mm-hmm. All right, man, more college football conversation. Mike, and here's the thing for me. Sankey's comments yesterday, and Craig, can we play one of the Sankey cuts? Because I want people to hear from the commissioner as we played this late in the show yesterday. Just one. But the thing was, he was very general. He was not specific. Nothing that's been said by him or the conference has been specific. And I want you to think about this. Have you heard from Greg McGarrity specifically? Have you heard from any AD in this conference specifically say anything in regards to playing ball? The answer is no. And the reason is because that memo went out a long time ago about we got to wait and make sure we're all on the same page. Ole Miss can't come out and say, yeah, we're playing. It's like when earlier in the year when Oklahoma State's coach Mike Gundy came out and said, I'm going to have my players back on campus in June. You can't do that. And so it's like one voice. The voice is Sankey, but they're all in line with it. Here's what Sankey had to say after the meetings yesterday.
I don't know that it's every conference for ourselves, but obviously people made decisions. So I don't. We've talked enough, and I've talked to so many people, and I'm used to long days, so I'm in great shape for the long days. But I observed that what happened in March is a really good indicator of what may happen as we look towards the fall, which is groups of universities, conferences, made independent decisions. Now, we all ended up at the same destination, and you'll recall in a very compressed period of time, those decisions were announced, and they were made and then announced at different times. And I indicated that's a good example of what we could see this summer, and lo and behold, that's what's happened. Now, whether we all end up at the same destination remains to be seen.
Now, for those that aren't catching his drift, remember it started off with schools. I think it was Kansas, right? And then Duke, and then the conferences got involved, and the next thing you know, it was done, right?
Yeah,
And he said you might see the same thing. Now, my point, and you and I talked about this yesterday, I mean, I'm not saying that the guys at the Big Ten are wrong, but, I mean, why can't we just wait till we got a hold it off as long as you can, okay? Some would say it's like, come on, that's ridiculous. You know, it's like guys that are just cutting their check now to the IRS. Oh, well, enough about me. That's what we're going to do tomorrow.
But, wait a minute. I thought you filed already.
Yeah. part three. It took me three payments to pay this. I'm paying for a lot of people not to work this year, brother. I'll tell you that, man.
Okay. I got
anybody, by the way, you know, I sound like my dad. Any of you guys, any of you restaurant guys who aren't going to work right now, you can thank me. I'm paying your paycheck right now. Believe me, I can show you the receipts. But no, man, I would say that getting back to college football, we may have to go pull the trigger, as we said, talking to Brett McMurphy, but why do we have to rush it? Can we hold out hope for a miracle, which may never arrive? And then look, then when it's nut cutting time, you make the move.
I don't know, man. I just, yeah. I don't want to be the guy right. who says, I told you so, mm-hmm. but that's where we're going with this. And I hate it because there are so many people who have said to me, you know, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you're just making this. No, I'm telling you, I'm talking to enough people that know, and this is why we've not gotten definitive answers. And, Mike, I'm with you, man. I'm going to just keep my fingers crossed. You know what? Let's 4 years, $85 million. And when you look at this contract, $37 million due at signing, $60 guaranteed for injury, $5 million in incentives. Here's the interesting thing. You start looking at guys on the defensive side of the football with at least $60 million in guarantees in his contract. Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, DeMarcus Lawrence, and now Chris Jones.
The dude's money. I mean, that's the thing. They've got some coin to split around, and this was a guy that, you know, it was funny. A lot of memes went out there as soon as you saw the contract go out for Patrick Mahomes, that this guy was like, they had pictures of, like, cartoon characters with their arms crossed, like harumphing, like he wasn't going to get his. But as Chris Mortensen reports, the deal is done. And again, this is the deadline for teams to sign players with the franchise tag. That's why now everyone, just to take it further south to Texas, is waiting to see what's going to happen with the Cowboys, or Dak is going to play under the franchise tag.
Yeah, tomorrow, 4 o'clock, deals have to be done. I don't know if Dak's deal is going to get done. Remember, he did sign his tender, $31 million, so he's going to get paid at least that, top five of the average of the top five players at his position.
Hey, also, by the way, if he balls out, I'll sort of cut you off. If he balls out, then the worst case, if the Cowboys still don't believe in him, you can do what the Redskins, it's not the way ideally to do it, mm-mm. but they can do what the Redskins did and tag him again.
Kirk Cousins, yes. Right. Yeah. And by the way, for him, it's not the ideal, but it is a lot of money. I mean, there's no quarterback, and this is going to shock some people, there's no quarterback in the last 4 years that's made more money than Kirk Cousins. None. So the situation of franchise tag, okay, we're going to do it again, it benefited Kirk Cousins because he was making way more than he should have, and teams didn't want to commit to the long-term deal. Either way, I don't know if that's what Dak's going to do. Greg Olsen, Mike, he's going to go to Fox and be an analyst when his playing days are over.
Yeah, he's got one more year with Seattle. He signed a pretty nice-sized contract. Remember, you and I had kicked it around before we made the trade for Hayden Hurst about could we maybe go get Greg Olsen. Well, it's more money than we would be willing to pay at this stage of his career that Seattle is paying him. But, yeah, I mean, anything we've seen him, he's done a lot of stuff with the NFL Network. I've seen him on Good Morning Football. He's a likable guy, charismatic dude. So no disrespect to Jason Witten, but I think he'll probably have more success as a tight end transitioning to the broadcast booth.
No, I totally agree with that. While we were talking about Mahomes' contract, I want you to hear Lamar Jackson. This was his reaction when he heard about Pat Mahomes' contract.
I got to win me a Super Bowl. I got to get to where he at. I mean, it's a crazy number. You know, no one has ever, you know, dreamed about that. Well, probably dreamed about it, but no one ever expected that, especially $500 million. But that's different. Like, he deserved it, though. You know, he deserved it.
No, he's not making any bones about it. I mean, Mahomes is a guy that are only 31 games that Patrick Mahomes has played, but he's done it all, man. And they're obviously very happy with him. Lamar, and I know I always throw this back out there because you just see a little bit of snark when some writers write about Lamar Jackson. He's got to win. He's got to win a playoff game. Peyton Manning went through it. Matt Ryan went through it. And he'll have his time, and hopefully he's going to learn it. Because the guys, to a man, they love this guy. You know, guys around the league like this guy. So now he's just got to make it happen when it matters most.
Yeah,
and then he too will get paid. I don't know if it's. I don't think anyone's ever going to touch the Mahomes contract, but he'll get his.
No, it's stunning when you look at the deal and the guaranteed money and the flexibility of the contract. That's a different conversation. But just up front, when you go $500 million, it's stunning. Let's talk about Cam Newton. Mike and I have been fixated on Cam and his third person conversations he's been having. Here's what Cam said, and I want to lay out the context of this conversation because I think it's important. He's not done a presser or a video conference since siding with New England. So he sat down with Odell Beckham, Todd Gurley, and former NFL receiver Victor Cruz in West Hollywood. It was at a restaurant. And it's a series. It's called The Bigger Picture. And so Victor Cruz plays basically the MC. He's asking questions to the guys. We know Todd Gurley's got a new team, our Falcons. But Newton really became the conversation because this is the first time he said anything about replacing Tom Brady. So here's the quote from what he said in regards to that. And then I'm going to tell you what he said about Belichick. Victor Cruz asked him, we got to address the elephant in the room. It's like, you know, who you're coming after. So then Cam says, quote, I'm like, yeah, great. What Brady was, he was great. What he is, he's great. No need to even talk about it. But one thing about it, Coach Josh McDaniels, you're able to call some stuff that you ain't ever been able to call now. You're getting a dog. This is Cam responding to the question. You're getting one of those ticked off dogs, too. Mike, he continues to talk about how mad he is about how this all played out. I hope he plays well, because I'm telling you, he's setting himself up, man, for a lot of criticism here.
Well, like I said, you know, if you're healthy, all this stuff, I mean, we all know what Cam can do. We've seen it. We've seen it in the division. It's all predicated, though, on him being healthy, and that's something he hasn't been for two seasons, as far as 100%. But if Cam is feeling that, you know, you've seen the workout videos and all the things and all the, needless to say, Carl, the self-affirmations that Cam has made public,
yep.
But now he's got to go and do it. But he's right. That's not a lie. He can do things outside the pocket that Brady can't do. Brady feels pressure. He falls down in a ball.
It's true.
You know, to play another day, to, you know, take another play. But Cam will try to extend the play and make plays with his body.
When Cam said his agent called him and said the Patriots were interested, his agent wanted to know how he would get along with Belichick. And he said, hold on, how's me and Bill going to mesh? And his agent responded, he just wants to put you in a place to have success. And Cam said, that's all I needed to hear.
And that's all the player's ever asking for, right?
Yeah, man. All right, dude. We'll continue to hear more about this and what Cam is saying. Eventually, he will have a video press conference and be officially introduced. Yeah, man. No man's on the way. We say, hey, man. Go get some Hey Man Ale. Bo Morgan next.
Wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan. Brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit FixJets.com to learn more.
Falcon reports on the way. Everybody talks about the team that they think we can beat or should be able to. They got some problems. We're going to lay them out for you, and we're going to talk about finally maybe seeing a guy perform the way we need. It's all on the way, but right now it's Bo Morgan with Yeah Man, No Man. What's going on, Bo?
For the Falcon Report, good stuff in the Falcon Report coming up. You know, normal day, gym, work, driving range, and now I get to talk to you guys for, looks like you gave me about 5 minutes.
Okay, get to
apparently,
it.
He's apparently snarky. Well, then you're wasting time. Go, 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 go. Let's go.
No, not me. I'm never snarky. I mean, I hang out with you guys for a living. All right.
He's being snarky again, Carl. Here we go. That's now we wasted 2 minutes.
Wasted 30 seconds, but you keep wasting it by interrupting me. Terrell Pryor, talk about a time before he got injured when he was dominating people as a wide receiver in the NFL.
If you go back, even looking at last year, my preseason game, I mean, it was really just my injuries, you know. So I really had time to, like every day, I'm working on, you know, certain things with my hips because I knew I had problems with my hips that was, you know, it had me lingering with my hamstring. So I mean, I could still play and I could still make plays and dominate. I know that.
We're talking about who? Terrell Pryor?
Terrell Pryor.
Terrell Pryor. And Terrell Pryor is referencing a fourth preseason game the year he got hurt, where I believe he was playing for the Redskins. It was after his year with the Jets.
Right.
So, remember that this Terrell Pryor. But, yeah, man, no, man, do you think Terrell Pryor should get a shot and he could still play in the NFL as a wide receiver?
I can answer this in one word. Bum.
Well, he did have a 1,000-yard season with the Browns 1 year.
Bum.
And that's how he got the Washington deal.
Bum.
He caught the ball 77 times for 1,007 yards.
Where is he now? Where is he now?
I know. He's in the Where Are They Now file.
Where is he now?
He's got him on the side of milk cartons.
One season does not make a career, guys. No. Terrell Pryor is a bum.
1,000-yard season, Carl.
But, Carl, that's a dominant season. 77 catches.
Guys, Austin Hooper had more catches than this guy. Stop it. No. Bum.
You guys remember when Terrell Pryor was a recruit and he decided that he wouldn't sign on National Signing Day and he waited like 2 months later to sign with Ohio State?
Mike, why are you being nice about this guy? He was nothing.
I'm trying to be positive. You know, it's easy. It's easy for me to just crap on Terrell Pryor. That would be too simple. I'm just trying to be a contrarian. Yeah, 1,000-yard season. You know, not everybody in the NFL gets 1,000-yard season.
Oh, would you guys? You guys would take Terrell Pryor on your team right now. Would you? Would you?
I think if his energy is right, Carl. Let me ask you this. You know what? I'll flip the script.
All right.
He's done something Laquon Treadwell will never do.
Don't you talk bad about Laquon Treadwell.
1,000-yard season.
Don't you talk bad about Laquon.
Would you rather have Terrell Pryor or Laquon Treadwell while we're talking about bums?
All right, listen. We don't know what Laquon's going to do with the Falcons yet, but here's the deal. I just think, you know, sometimes things get overblown, and now he's pumping his chest out talking about what he could have did. I just don't buy it. That's where I'm at. My answer is no, man, to whatever you're going to ask about Terrell Pryor.
1,000-yard season on a one-win team, Carl.
You said it. One-win team. Nobody was guarding his ass.
Yards. They were always behind. By the way, look, if Terrell Pryor played with Stephon Diggs Adam Thielen, he wouldn't have 1,000 yards. He would have maybe 20 catches.
Oh, I see. So Laquon Treadwell, again, first-round bust. Now
don't you talk bad about Laquon Treadwell.
He couldn't beat out this robust competition.
You're going to sit here and tell me how good Terrell Pryor is, who was a colossal nothing in the NFL, and you're going to kill Laquon Treadwell?
I do know this. Again, Bo,
Terrell
again,
Pryor
I am.
If Pryor played for the Falcons, you'd kill him.
I am not baloney. That's nonsense. I just don't want to collect bums. And we did bum collection this offseason. Okay? And if you added up all
here he
the
goes.
Years.
Here he goes.
All the years that Laquon Treadwell's been in the NFL, it doesn't add up.
Talk bad about Laquon
it doesn't Treadwell. Add up to Terrell Pryor's receiving yards.
Let me tell you something.
In
you can
one season.
Sugarcoat it all you want, but Terrell Pryor is just as big of a bum as Laquon Treadwell is, according to you. I'm telling you. The guy is a egotistical bum.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so I'm glad you're on the bum tip with me. Good.
Hold on, I don't know if I can do it, though. Bum.
Bum, bum.
You got to breathe out when you do it. Bum.
Bum.
What up, Shaq? Go ahead.
That is not a bum. Story yesterday where Bruce Smith might have misspoke on Family Feud, but he told Dan Patrick today why he did what he did.
I don't know what I was thinking. That was the problem. I couldn't think at that point in time. You know, there's something about a time clock and a buzzer that it makes you become confused when you're running out of time and you don't have an answer. I gave the number one answer originally, and then when that buzzer went off a couple of times, I guess I kind of panicked.
But Bruce, of all the things you can mention in a toolbox, you mentioned a penis.
As we were filming the show, there were multiple questions where all they talked about was sex. Michael Irving was talking about his wife and she was playing the role of an assistant in the office. There was another question pertaining to sex, and so I was already hotwired to potentially give that answer. I just needed the time and the space.
And for those who didn't hear it, Craig, I don't know if you still got the original soundbite, but on Family Feud with a bunch of NFL Hall of Famers, the question, again, it's always, Carl, the more difficult aspect when you are the second person to go, right, on that, when you're trying to get to, 200 points, and all the questions have already been answered, you got to pivot to the second one. That's difficult.
It is, but as Bo said yesterday, I'm just not sure about what kind of movies he's watching these days.
Yeah, that's an odd one to pivot to, Michael.
Well, it's again, and Bruce, by the way, he's a low-key guy. He's like the last guy you'd think it would be like Bill Cosby would say, filth, flarm, filth, and he went there.
Yeah, that's what he had on his mind for some reason. All right, real quick, today is National Mac and Cheese Day. So I ask you guys, macaroni and cheese Terrell Pryor, macaroni and cheese Julio Jones, when it comes to having it with a meal?
You know what? That's a jaded question.
It's ridiculous.
It really is. But listen, Mike and I are big fans of mac and cheese. And here's the thing. People have been so creative with ways of cooking mac and cheese. We got our Dukes and Bill, hashtag Dukes and Bill tailgate at home on Friday. Guys always send in the sides and whatnot. I am a huge mac and cheese fan, Mike. So it doesn't matter to me where, when, if, how. Just put it on my plate.
Yeah, and if Laquan Treadwell can't get it together this year, he'll be working at a place serving mac and cheese before you know it.
Don't you talk bad about Laquan Treadwell.
He might be owning the place. He's still got a rookie deal that had a few million
in
it. So,
you know what? You're right. He could afford, Carl, to have someone make him some mac and cheese right
and
now.
And by the way, for those of you who are listening and going, what is this fascination with Laquan? Mike and I have been joking about this since they signed him. We don't know what he's going to do. And my joke is, don't you talk bad about Laquan Treadwell, because we don't know what he's going to do. And if he's a bum, then I'll
Tom and Dan's house have used first-round picks. Okay, Harris, Laquan Treadwell, Deion Buchanan. We are loaded, baby. We are loaded.
Okay, you know what?
I'd rather have Laquan Treadwell on my team than Terrell Pryor any day. And you know what? Laquan is going to prove you wrong, Michael. That's all I got to tell you. Hey, real quick, the wife made macaroni and cheese with goat cheese Friday with our steak. Really good. Really good.
That's awesome.
I was impressed.
That I haven't had. I got to be. I like goat cheese. Yeah. I like goat cheese, but I haven't had that one.
Man. That's solid.
Play the damn music, Bo.
All right, as always, we're brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit fixjets.com to learn more. Craig, play my music.
Oh, good jam.
Yes, sir. Good song. We are playing the Entanglement playlist today, having some fun with it as we tweeted it out earlier today. It is Dukes and Bell. It's 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we got the Falcon Report. Strong arm story of the day, guys, and it's Braves related. Stay right there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.